So good.
But one man's dream. Oh,
the best. I'm Adam Annis.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear Podcast.
Jazz Explored.
Explored today from Open Studio. Go to openstudiojazz.com. Start your free trial today.
Yes, people are loving the free trial.
Well, it's a free trial, Peter. It's free 99. It's the greatest price ever.
I know, but they're loving what they're getting there. We're so excited about this. It's opening it up to so many new folks, and what a great community we have over there.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. Pretty incredible. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we're delving back into what I think is kind of a little bit of a hit for us now.
It's definitely
based upon
hit.
The response.
Yeah, the new feature, What Makes This Album Great, is a hit, and credit to you, Peter. Begrudgingly credit to you, this was your idea.
No, it's always a group effort. But I mean, it makes sense that it's a hit because it's like one of the funnest things to do gathering around this music is talking about, I mean, a lot of times, and you know, we may get into some controversial records at some point. I don't think this week is one.
There's so many good records to listen to.
I know, and even great. But I mean, but we will probably get to the point where some people will be like, that record's okay, but it's not great. But
I do. We got a suggestion that might be controversial, actually, which is our 10th category, Is It Better Than Kind of Blue? We might consider tweaking that when we get there. I have an idea.
Right.
I have an idea.
Okay.
To make it less.
We're going to talk about it today?
Yeah, we can talk
about
it.
Okay, good.
So before we get going, a reminder of what our categories are. We have this broken down into 10 categories. And
bespoke categories.
Okay, yeah, bespoke, sure. 10 bespoke categories, each one worth 10 points, starting with playing, vibe, compositions, sound, sequence, cover art, title, lore, snobometer, and is it better than Kind of Blue?
Yes. It's the Kind of Blue one you want to tweak. Perhaps.
I think I want to tweak that one. And this is actually a suggestion from one of our listeners.
Okay. So we take suggestions. We don't always adhere to them, but we're always interested in
them.
Okay. So today we are listening to Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley.
One of the greatest.
One of the greatest
ever.
Records. Yeah. One of my favorite jazz records.
Seriously.
I know one of your favorites.
100%.
You know, several people in my family that are not musicians, but are huge music lovers, love this record. Millions of people around the world. I mean, this is like this. I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here.
Yeah.
And I'm not the skinniest gentleman. So when I go out on a limb, I have to balance myself.
There's some jeopardy going to
there's a little jeopardy, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it doesn't get any better than this.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is strong words already from the start.
Whether or not the scoring will reflect it, that'll be interesting because I've never really analyzed it in such a way. Like, to me, this is such a viscerally enjoyable record.
Agreed.
It's such a joyful record.
Agreed.
And I think it's because you have so many, and we'll talk about that with the instrumentation. I mean, basically what we've got here is the Cannonball Adderley sextet of the early 60s, the legendary group, the dialed in, locked in group of Cannonball and Nat Adderley, of course, the brothers on trumpet and saxophone, and then Joe Zawinul on piano, Lewis Hayes on drums, Sam Jones on bass, really probably one of the best rhythm sections. I mean, we talk about PC, Philly Joe,
solid rhythm
Jimmy
section.
Cobb,
yeah.
Or,
Lewis
you know,
A,
Wynton
Sam
Kelly,
Jones,
Rick Garland. But
legendary.
I mean, great rhythm section here. Great working quintet. And then you're layering in a young superstar in the making, amazing vocalist and musician, Nancy Wilson.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then what I think is just a fantastic record. So
how old was Nancy Wilson when she recorded this? Because she was pretty young, right?
She was young.
This came out in 61?
62. Recorded in 61.
And she was born in 37.
37.
So that would make her 25.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I mean, Nancy Wilson, an incredibly attractive voice, an incredibly attractive person. I got a chance to know her. I played with her one time. And actually,
lucky duck.
That was very lucky. I played with her one tune one time. She was a lovely person. Just a bright light.
As she seems her voice, like she would be so cool.
Her personality is like her voice is,
so cool.
You know, and she had such a mature, like, reading of these great songs. And some of them, like, remain. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
Let me
ask you something.
Okay.
Would this interest you, sir?
Okay. Wish I knew. It's just the greatest. One of the greatest moments in music.
Why I'm so in love with you.
Get out of town.
One of the great entry, vocal entries for sure.
No one else in this world will do.
The way she's playing with pitch,
darling,
on that.
Darling, please save your love for me.
So that was one of the best vocal entries and background trumpets, and now one of the best saxophone entries.
Run away. If I were wise, I'd run away.
So amazing.
But like a fool in love, I stay.
If I were wise, I'd run away.
Yeah.
Like a fool in love, I stay.
Great, fantastic tune, fantastic lyric.
Buddy Johnson.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to score already because it's just so good.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, Nancy Wilson's funny, 25, 24
even
years old. Like the maturity of her reading of this song, like the phrasing and the way, like her pitch is so good, but she's going in and out of the pitch even from the beginning. And then when she hits that pitch right on, it's so satisfying. Like she doesn't, there's a way of singing this that I know she could have done even then where it's just like the pitch is right at the middle of every note. But it wouldn't have that personality. And that's a very mature thing for a vocalist to have.
I'm so in love with you, so darling, help me please.
I mean, it's like, it's the presence of an older person's
mercy on a fool,
combined with the vibrancy of a young woman's thing. I mean, it's extraordinary. Am I overstating it? I don't think so.
I mean, no, this is one of the canons. And
and Cannonball's playing on this. Okay. I'm not going to get... No, yeah, I am going to get ahead of it here. How far are you going now? Let's start with playing, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, well, we already listened to some with the quintet as well. I'm going to go 10 out of 10 on playing.
I'm going 10 out of 10.
This, even if I'd only heard that, those first, you know, up to the bridge on this.
Every musician in the band is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
All of them.
And there was some stuff like Joe Zawinul, like the comping on
this.
Sam Jones, that line.
I love this era of Joe Zawinul, by the way. I love his playing with Cannonball's band.
Yeah.
And this rhythm section of Sam Jones and Lewis Hayes is one of my favorite combinations. And then, of course, the Adderley Brothers. And then, of course, Nancy Wilson. Everybody is a killer.
Yeah.
And so it is a 10 out of 10.
For and for
sure.
Playing, I'm going to jump down to some of the quintet stuff. That's 10 out of 10. Lewis Hayes?
The swinging.
Oh.
Relax.
Like literally the best quintet playing you can ever. The bounce that Cannonball and Nat Adderley had, unparalleled.
Yeah. They're so tight as well, like that fiddling thing, you know?
Get out of here! Get out of here! Yeah, I mean, I think the only other, like, so Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie.
Yep.
Maybe not Charlie Parker and Miles Davis
maybe
quite
not.
On this level.
Maybe not.
But Charlie Parker and Dizzy, like, the way, different phrasing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that bounce, like, to have that kind of personality with two people playing, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. And then, you know, Nancy Wilson's great on this. I'm going to play one of her other tracks later. The weird thing about this record is not weird. It's really kind of two records, especially the way that they butchered it with the CD. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Is it's a quintet record and it's a sextet record. So there's like Nancy Wilson with the quintet, you know, making the sextet. And then so half of the tracks, there's basically, what is it? Six tracks with Nancy Wilson, seven with the unreleased that wasn't on the LP. And then four tracks with just the instrument. Five tracks, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
No, you
I can't even count
excited.
Them out.
Can you do me a favor? Can we
yes.
do, when we do Vibe, can yeah. you do this, The Masquerade Is Over?
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah. So now we're going to go to Vibe. Check this out. Okay, first of all, that was a nice chord, Joe Zawinul.
Your eyes don't shine. Like they used to shine.
I mean, I think anybody who's ever recorded any kind of vocal album, any kind of ballad, And this is what I'm shooting for every, like, right. That's the level that I want to be at. Every ballad I play. When your
lips for vibe.
For vibe.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's think about your role, like our roles as pianists, but if you're a drummer, if you're a vocalist, like what do you need to bring to the table? Not to do it like them. The masquerade is over. Can I get a cognac and a cigarette, please?
Please.
But really classy ones with the big plastic and holder. So is love. But I mean the brushes. Lewis, and I mean, so is love. Like what do you bring to the table to make the vibe?
Your words. Yeah, that's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. And Joe Zawinul, kind of, I wouldn't say underrated because I heard him do it live and certainly in this era, but like he knew how to change, not to change, to adjust to the situation. Like he was a very flexible pianist even at a young age here. Yeah, I mean, like that kind of accompaniment behind Nancy Wilson and then with the quint. I mean, it's great. It's great.
Compositions, Peter. So
wait,
there's
what'd you do for vibe? Are we sharing yet?
Oh, yeah. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 for vibe.
Yeah.
Compositions, there's a lot of great tunes on here. Yeah. I'm going to go compositions 9 out of 10.
Interesting. I just, even before I heard you say the 9, marked out my 9 and went to 10.
You went to 10.
I was going to do 9 at first.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's some great, they're all great tunes, but yeah. A couple are not as good as some of the others.
Were you thinking this one by any chance?
Yeah. What is that?
That's why I was going to do 9, Never Will I Marry, yeah, because that's right. That's the lyric maybe, but what they turn it into, is that part of the composition? I guess I'm letting the vibe and the playing.
Never, maybe it is a 10 out of 10.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's tough. And the arrangement?
I'm sticking with 9. I think there's better. There's one more notch above this.
But does Nancy Wilson, and really the whole group, is the vibe and the playing on such a high level that they elevate this composition to the other
ones?
That's
why the playing and the vibe is so great.
So can we decouple the compositions? Okay, maybe we should.
I'm trying to.
I'm gonna go with it. That was my original. That's a stunning thing. The only other vocalist, I mean, there's many vocalists, I should say, but the one that's coming to mind now is Ella Fitzgerald's ability to transcend sometimes, you know, maybe not A-level material, like back and forth with great songs, like jump mm-hmm. to it, maybe not as strong of a composition and still bring the A-game to it. So that's an interesting thing for Nancy Wilson, especially being so young too. Okay, sound. I'm actually going to go with an 8 on this. Only because you know what? I could go 10 too.
I'm going 10.
Oh, you're going 10? Okay. I got to go 8 on this.
I'm going, really?
Yes.
I'm going 10.
Because the piano,
is so perfect? Because it's perfectly mixed and balanced with everything else.
It's not perfectly
mixed.
Yeah,
that's why it's a
10. No, sir. Check this out. Check out on Masquerade again at the beginning. The piano with the rest of the rhythm section with Nancy's vocal, to me, is too... Don't shine.
It's great.
It's great. But this is what I'm saying. Like, so for this, like with the composition, don't get fooled by the incredible playing and vibe, because that's... The sound is a lot of this. But to me, the piano is not quite...
Okay, but I think...
I'm going 9.
I think 9. Of its era...
Only because of the piano.
Of its era, it's a beautifully, beautifully, beautifully recorded album. And the fact that it hits so hard in all of these things, the fact that we can hear these subtleties in her voice, even the little...
The vocal sound is 10. I'm not even talking about her singing. I'm talking about... They're incredible. To me, everything except for the piano.
I will take this over a lot of different...
But 10 is perfection, sir.
I think this is a pretty perfect sounding record to me. Okay. Well, I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, of course not, sir.
But right, no, you would make the piano sound
better. Let's just put it 100 and go home. Can we put it 100 and go home?
No, it's not quite. But it's close. It's going to be, I think for me, it's going to be close.
I just think, I mean, let me listen one more time.
Especially with our new updated Is It Better Than KOB. Even with the little hissing there.
I don't mind the hiss.
It adds
I mean, the clarity and the warmth. There's a little bit of warmth missing with the piano. Like the bass, I think is perfect. The drums, perfect. Okay. The horns for sure. But to me, the horns and the vocals are just utter perfection. So when you set the bar that high,
I know what you mean. I'm just saying. I'm accounting for a little bit of era in this as well. 1961 is when this was recorded.
Yeah,
and for me, it just sounds amazing.
Me too. 9 is still amazing.
Okay. Sequence. I have sequence.
Well, can I just tell the little story about this first?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and ask your question. Are we going off the CD or the original LP?
Well, this is why I have an 8 for the sequence, and I might even go down to a 7, actually.
Well, we need to clarify this first, because I don't want us to get off.
But this is why, because the sequence is confusing, because the original LP sequence is not what you're going to see on Spotify.
No, but we're going to go by, I would put forth that we go by the original LP sequence.
I'm
rating.
I'm accounting for however we might take this in. A lot of people are going to take this
in. No, but we're not saying what makes the streaming great. We're saying what makes this album great. So
it's
we have to be consistent from album to album.
And the LP sequence is is great, and the CD sequence is not as good.
But remember last week, or whenever that was, we did Empyrean Isles. Islands or Isles? We don't care.
See, this is why that title is a 7.
No, but we said we weren't going to go by the sequence on the streaming because it had the alternate take early.
Yeah.
Remember you were like, no, the album.
Okay. I mean,
so we got to be consistent, sir.
If that's the case, if we're going LP,
because it's not their fault in terms of like how they put this album together. They didn't know there was going to be a CD and a streaming thing.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah. So the LP sequence basically alternates between vocal and instrumental tracks.
Right, which I think is genius. That's why I'm giving it a 10 for sequence.
I'm going to go with 9 for that.
Okay.
Thing. We're going to go.
I think the feel, and it was interesting because I first experienced this record on CD, and I love the record, but it always felt a little weird to me that like you'd listen to all these great vocal tracks and then it kind of broke down. It was like the opposite of the way you'd hear this set. Like if you went to see Nancy Wilson with the Adderley Brothers quintet, they'd probably play a tune or two, and then they'd bring out Nancy Wilson, or they might play 3 tunes and then bring her out, and then they play the rest of the set. And the CD is set up opposite to that, and the streaming is set up opposite to that. The album is set up in a very unique way. You know what? I'm going 10. I'm sticking with my thing. Because I love the way the album sounds and the way that you turn it over. And it's bookended, so Nancy Wilson's on the first tune and the last tune. I'm going 10.
10 out of 10. Okay. Yeah,
I'm passionate about this.
Cover art. Can we maybe look at Caleb, for the YouTube folks, we put the cover up here. For me, this is also a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Yeah, I agree.
I think it's beautiful. I think they look amazing. Like it's kind of like an off-white
eggshell.
Nancy
looks a little better than Cannonball, let's be honest, but yes.
It's an eggshell background, but the silhouette that Cannonball strikes there with the dark suit and the white or off-white silhouette behind him.
And
or,
that is
or
the most, you know, hats off to his tailor, because that's the most slimming suit,
it's a great suit
I've ever seen.
And then the Nancy Wilson and / Cannonball, the two different colors look amazing. The simplicity of it, this is one of those covers where as soon as you see it, you know what it is exactly, and it's like it captures a lot of the vibe.
And even how it works in with the Capitol, the iconic Capitol Records logo,
She's wearing, for those of you who can't say, she's wearing this amazing yellow dress and this like these yellow heels, and it's like striking against the backdrop, and Cannonball's in a dark suit striking against the backdrop. And they're looking at each other in a way that's very playful. It's very cool.
It's very playful. It's not creepy, which it easily could have been. Like Cannonball, like it's such a sort of great representation of what you hear in the music, the way they play together.
She's kind of looking over, she's got her arms crossed and she's looking over her shoulder at Cannonball, and he's holding his horn and kind of smiling at her.
I mean, this is the kind of thing like you could have seen like kind of a Mad Men, Madison Avenue.
It
like,
totally is like
they gave him like 10 different mock-ups, and then, you know, John Hamm was like, that's the one. Let's go get some Canadian Club whiskey.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome.
So and then look at even the little shadows. Like all that's very intentional. The shadows from both of them. Oh, it's good. Good
stuff. Great stuff. So that's 10 out of 10. The title, which is Nancy Wilson / Cannonball Adderley, I put it as 7, Peter. I originally had it higher, but the more I think about it, with how vibey this album is, they could have probably come up with a more evocative title, something a little more poetic than just the facts, which there's nothing wrong with the simplicity of just Cannonball, Nancy Wilson, Cannonball Adderley, but it would have been nice, I think, with some kind of more evocative title.
So I give it an 8. I agree. It could have been, I almost went with a 9, but I was kind of like, but I do feel like what they avoided, which was good, which is a little bit typical from that period too, which is like Nancy Wilson meets the Cannonball Adderley Quintet.
Nothing corny or, like that.
So I think the slash between it maybe was a little bit, you know, it was almost like a HTTP :// like they're ahead of their time with the World Wide Web. Nancy Wilson, Cannonball. And because of the record, and I maybe took a little point off because it Nancy Wilson, Cannonball Adderley, whereas maybe Cannonball Adderley Quintet or Adderley, but I don't know, like it's such a meeting of Nancy Wilson with this great group.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, look, just a little bit. The album's great. The title works great with the album cover. So there's that too.
And then the lore I put at an 8 because there's not much lore around here. That might actually, we could might even go lower with that. But there's not, I mean, she was very young and meeting with this very established band at the time. But there's no, I can't really find any great stories. The only reason the lore gets so high here is because of the lore this album's had since its release.
Right.
That it's just, you know, very, very high in the canon of not just vocal albums, but jazz albums in general.
Yeah. So I'm actually going with a 9 on the lore because of that part, the lore after the fact, which I do think we should include. And plus, there could have been stories that maybe we don't know about or whatever. But I think that part of the lore is, you know, this sort of meeting of an established group with the great young singer. And also, there was another part of the lore that I thought, oh, the fact that it went to number 30 on the Billboard charts.
That's a good one too, yeah.
Which was not unheard of.
Like, not just the Billboard jazz charts.
It was a hit. No, it was a, Billboard this was a hit LP album. Charts, yeah. So that's an interesting part of the lore. To me, that pushed it up a little bit. And the fact that so many people, I think, it, during this time, well, I know from some of my family members, my wife's family, this was like one of those records, like A Kind of Blue, which might have even happened a little later, but like Dave Brubeck, Take Five, not Take Five, what's the right name, whatever, I always call
Time
it.
Out.
Time Out. Like these records that kind of check a lot of boxes in terms of really cool covers and names, hit the Billboard charts. And like, if you had a couple of jazz albums and you were classy at home, that you'd have this as one of your records. So to me, that pushes up the lore-o-meter.
The snob-o-meter. Now, this is just, do jazz snobs like this album? So I put this at an 8, which is not, it's medium high, because most jazz musicians I know love this record. They love the whole album.
Yeah.
But I could see some more like, you know, Coltrane heads or fusion heads not digging it because of the sort of like singer aspect of it. But I'm going to put it at an 8.
Refresh me on the snob-o-meter.
So it is.
this is the most confusing of
do me. Jazz snobs like the record?
Do?
So like, for instance, like the most snob-o-meter.
I would have to go lower then. But I hate that that's going to pull down the overall score of this record.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a 98, 99, 97 scoring record.
Okay, well, maybe we can rethink the snob-o-meter for next week. But maybe I'm definitely compromising on what exactly this means. But I already have an idea of how to revamp a little bit of the KOB.
I thought it was Wood Aunt Linda. We said the first week.
Yeah, and we revised that right after that. Every week I said skip.
Okay,
Aunt
so
Linda.
Give me the definition.
So would a jazz snob like this record? I think so too, which is why I put it in an 8. But I do think that there are some jazz snobs who don't like vocalists and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Who need it to be more outside or something like that.
A weird snob. You don't like vocalists.
There's some jazz snobs that don't like vocalists. Oh, yeah.
I'm giving it a 9.
Okay.
I mean, because I will slap a snob that doesn't like this record. Slap a snob-o-meter. There you go.
No, you know what I'm saying with that? We should definitely think about revamping the snob-o-meter. And listeners, if you have any suggestions. because it's not fair, like, just because Aunt Linda likes this record that
you just said we're not having
no, but that's
this.
What I'm saying. That's why the original idea of the snob-o-meter would be like, would a snob like it or would the general public like it? And then that would get... There might be a way to score this.
Well, the typical record that you would say a jazz snob, first of all, are we considering ourselves jazz snobs? Are our dear listeners snobs?
I think that's in the eye of the beholder, but yes, I think a lot of people would consider us jazz
snobs. Okay, because I would say that like, what would Kenny G's song, what's it called? Songbird.
That would be very low on the snob-o-meter.
Right.
Yeah.
So then this would have to be very high on the snob-o-meter.
I agree. That's why I gave it an 8. Yeah, that's why I gave it an 8.
Okay, cool.
Like, yeah, something like... Like you mentioned Time Out.
Yeah.
That would be way lower on the snob-o-meter because I know a lot of jazz musicians who don't really dig that record.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
that's true. Okay, that's gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speaking of controversy.
Okay.
Walk me through how we're going to change this.
So we've had this last category. Is it better than Kind of Blue? Miles Davis is Kind of Blue. And we've had it be binary. If it is, it's a 10. If it's not, it's a 0.
That was actually stupid.
It was kind of
but
dumb.
It was fun.
And we had a suggestion from a commenter on YouTube. Thanks for this suggestion. You know who you are.
That it's not anonymous.
We should actually put this on the scale. So, Peter, here's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
I suggest that we put Kind of Blue is a 9. And we rate whatever album we're talking about against Kind of Blue. So it's possible for an album to be better than Kind of Blue by 1 point, because Kind of Blue is very, very, very good, right? Great, even. But then we don't lose all the points if it's not quite as good or if it's equal to Kind of Blue. For instance, for this, I put this at 9, which is equal to Kind of Blue. And I think it is. I think it holds up to being equal to Kind of Blue.
Interesting. So I have it at 9, but I did put in parentheses 10.
It's a 10. Why that?
Wait, can we do fractions? Can I do 9.5?
That's another thing I wanted to bring up. We could do 9.5.
I'm going 9.5 on this.
Here we go.
Because that's what that means when I said 9 with a 10.
You think it's just a little better than 9? Than
you know why? Because Nancy Wilson's on it.
You know?
And to me, everything, I mean, Kind of Blue, as great as Kind of Blue is, I think that the Cannonball Adderley, like they check all the same kinds of boxes in terms of it's the same time period, so you can kind of compare it. The rhythm section, the hot take is just as good or close. I mean,
really?
Yeah. On this, I'm going 9.5, sir.
I'm going 9.
Okay.
I'm going 9. Good. Okay.
Those are very close. So.
Very close. Okay.
So, but I do think we should adjust. I appreciate this. Thank you, dear listener. And I do like this idea of it not being binary. Because we were getting some, so you're going to have to forgive us some of our earlier.
We might go back and readjust those scores when we come back and and maybe we can have a whole episode on readjust. But we've only done 3. So like we're early days here.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Time to add up our scores and pick our favorite track. Ooh. So let's do it. Okay.
All right. Why don't you go first?
All right. I'll go first. So my total score is a 90, and my favorite track is Save Your Love for Me.
Okay. My total score is a 93.5.
Decimals have entered the picture.
That is a bespoke score for you, my friend. And my favorite track is this entire album. I can't do that, can I?
No, man. You got to pick a favorite track.
Well,
you messed up the flow because Caleb's going to do a ding.
Whole album. No. Okay. Ready? I'm going to do it again.
Pick a track.
Pick a track. This Masquerade is Over.
Okay. That's a great track.
Yeah. Which is, I feel a little weird because by far on Spotify, I got the most number of plays.
For Caleb and the edit, say your score and favorite track.
Okay. Total score, 93.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's a bespoke digital score.
Yeah. We already know the score, though.
My favorite track, This Masquerade is Over.
There. Well, thank you, Peter. This is a great call.
Yeah.
One of the greatest albums ever, truly. And I think we've really dialed in this. I think we got to dial in the snob-o-meter a little more, but I feel like we've dialed in.
Did you ever think
you'd
say something like that?
We've dialed in, is it better than KOB? And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So, that's our thing.
And, you know, dear listeners, we had a couple people in our last episode put their scores. So
yes.
If you'd like to put your score in there,
yep.
Please do. And also, if you'd like to make a suggestion for what albums you would like to see us review and listen to, please put that in the comments as well.
And let us know if you'd like us to review some lesser records, or at least lesser records that, because I think our plan was to always bring in records that we love.
So we're gonna,
that's going to get boring, isn't it?
So we need to start reviewing bad records?
Not bad. I would just say average, lesser.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like listening to average records.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many great records.
Let us know
records.
In the comments. Are we keeping this in the A range? Or are we going to
so
go
far,
down to
everything's
B,
been A like plus, a B plus. Plus.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
All right.
It's like an F. You'll hear it.
Bam.